Hebrews chapter number 9. Amen. I like that strong tire. Amen. 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 I'm glad the Bible said he's a tire, a higher tire that we can go through. I think tower and tire, some of y'all ain't getting it. He's a strong tire. Amen. But I thank God. Amen. Amen. The Bible said the righteous can run into it and is saved. Amen. We thank God for Jesus. We can trust Him in our time of need. Amen. All right. You got your Bibles in Hebrews chapter number 9. If you would, stand with me just for a second. Stretch your legs. Amen. While we read the Word of God. And if you can't stand, you stay seated. It'll read just as good either way. All right. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 1. The Bible said, then, verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Speaking, he's referring back to verse number 13 of chapter 8. Talk about a new covenant he has made. The first old, that which he said decayeth and waxeth old is ready. Speaking of the Old Testament, the New Testament, the old covenant God had with Israel, now the new covenant through Jesus Christ. And he said, under that old covenant, or that first covenant in verse 1 of chapter 9, he said there was ordinances and divine service and a worldly sanctuary. That word worldly has to do with earthly. It was a sanctuary on this earth in the wilderness. He said, for there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. So he's talking about the tabernacle and how the tabernacle, inside that tabernacle, he said there was the first veil. And he said when you went behind that first, in that first part of it, he said that there was a tabernacle. And he talked about the table and the showbread and the things that was there. And he said, and after it, he said there was a tabernacle which is called the holiest of all. Sometimes you've probably heard it referred to as the Holy of Holies. And he talked about the things that was in the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, the pot of manna, the rod that budded, which was Aaron's rod. And he said the table of the covenant, that would have been the tablets of Moses had written upon, or God had written upon and given to Moses. And then he said, and over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat. The mercy seat was where the high priest would offer the blood of the animals. And he said, of which we cannot now speak particularly. He said, there's some things that we can't even go into all the detail about. In verse 6, he said, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. So he said, priests, plural, were able to go, in verse number 6, into the first part. And he said, they accomplished the service of God, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. So he said here in these few verses, just give me a little background here. He's talked about how that the tabernacle there in the wilderness is talked about Moses' temple or tabernacle, and he talked about how the things that were there in the first part where the priests, plural, were allowed to go. But he said there was a section called the holiest of all, or the holiest of holies, where only the high priest could go once a year. And he said then when he went there in verse number 7, he said not without blood. And we know that he had to take the blood and sprinkle it when he went in. And when God would see the blood, God would accept him if he came the right way. And so he's showing us here the distinctions there. He's showing us the difference in the old covenant, and then he's showing us something here. He's leading us up to the new covenant. And he says that all of these things under the old covenant, verse number 9, he said, which was a figure for the time then present. It was a type. It was a figure. It was a foreshadowing of what was going to come. He said, that's not the thing that you're looking for. He said, but they were just a type, a shadow. They were getting you ready for what's going to take place. And so he goes on in verse number 11. He said, but Christ.
Verse 10, let me stop and say there. He said these things were imposed on them until the time of Reformation. The time of Reformation being the time when Christ would be completely sacrificed and He would completely satisfy God and there would be a transformation take place. There would be a reformation, a great radical change. And in verse number 11, we see that reformation taking place. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, I pray, God, that You would help us. I pray, God, that, Lord, You would help me to remember the things that I've studied, the things that You've showed me. And God, I pray You'd help me to deliver them to Your people. I pray, God, this morning, there be someone here in the sound of my voice that may not be saved, that, God, You may save them, for it be everlasting too late. I pray You'd encourage the Christian. I pray, God, that You'd help us. Do for us what only You can do. I pray that the name of Jesus would be exalted and magnified and lifted up. I pray, God, that You'd be pleased in everything that's said and done. God, have Your will and way here today. And we'll be careful to thank You and to praise You in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. You can be seated. Amen. I want to preach on this thought this morning. I stand redeemed. I stand redeemed. Now I want us to stop and say that as we look into this passage and we see the foreshadowing of what was going to take place, it's easy to see that I do not stand redeemed because of a tabernacle in the Old Testament. I do not stand redeemed because of the blood of bulls and the blood of goats. I do not stand redeemed because of the ashes of an old fat red heifer. Hey, listen, I do not stand redeemed because of any rituals or any customs that I may have obtained, but I stand redeemed because of the redemption that Jesus Christ has provided for mine and for your sins. And so we will look at this morning, and I want you to look with me in verse 12. He said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, and obtaining eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption for us. I thank God for eternal redemption. I thank God for the security of the believer. I thank God that when I got saved, amen, the Bible said unto him that is able, hey, to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Thank God. I'm glad He's able to keep me from falling and present me faultless. Amen. I'm looking forward to that one day. But I want to preach this morning on this thought, I stand redeemed. We look in the background here in the Old Testament. The high priest, we talked about how the priest themselves could go in to a certain part of the tabernacle, but there was a section that was sectioned off. There was a great veil there. That history and tradition tells us that a team of horses on each side couldn't pull that veil in two, and they couldn't rend it. Hey, but the Bible teaches us that there was one high priest each year. He could go after he had made sacrifices for his own sins, after he had prepared himself, and after he had sought to cleanse himself ceremonially and religiously. He was allowed once a year to go into that holiest of holies behind that veil where the mercy seat was, where the cherubim sat on the mercy seat, and he could put that blood on the mercy seat. And the Bible talked about how the Shekinah glory would come and would fill the temple, and that once a year, and that was on the Day of Atonement. And so we see that that's the background here of what we're facing and what we're looking at today. The Holy of Holies, the offering of blood, that sacrifice. And don't forget that he had to offer up for his own sins first. And then he would go in and represent the people. This was a yearly happening, and it was never a complete payment for the sins of the priest or of the people. This was something that had to be continually repeated year after year. That's what we read about in verses 1 through 10 or 1 through 11. But the writer here in the book of Hebrews, if you study the book of Hebrews, you'll find that he uses the word better throughout the book of Hebrews some 13 times. There's 13 chapters. He uses the word better 13 times. Sometimes he uses the words like this, greater or heavenly or more perfect. And so what he's doing, the writer of Hebrews, He's taken the Old Testament customs and the Old Testament rituals that the Jews were given through Moses and God's revelation to him, and he's taken that and he's comparing it, and he's showing the Old Testament Jews that, hey, listen, that Old Testament way is not the way anymore. He's showing them that Jesus Christ came, and when Jesus came, and when He was crucified, when He went to Calvary, that He fulfilled every type. He fulfilled every feast. He fulfilled everything that foreshadowed the coming Messiah, that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment. He's the antitype to every type in the Old Testament. It's all about Jesus. And He's explaining throughout the whole book of Hebrews why Jesus is so much better than all those Jewish customs, than all those Jewish traditions, than all, even I'm talking about the customs, the feast, the sacrifices, everything that God had ordered them to carry out in the old covenant. Now Jesus come, being our new covenant, shed His blood on the cross and gave us life. Amen. Now He's so much better than all those things of the Old Testament. You say, what's He better than? Well, we find He's a better revelation. We find He's in a better position. We find that He's got a better priesthood than Aaron, amen, and all the other prophets. We see that He has a better covenant. We say that He's a better sacrifice. We see, amen, He's got better power. We see that He's a better, amen, if I can read my own writing, He's a better substance, amen. He's got a better name. He gives us a better hope. He's got better promises. I'm simply saying, amen, one day, hey, because of the New Testament and a better testament, amen, He's taking us to a better country, and we got a better resurrection. Amen. Don't get too scared and too excited about it or anything like that. Hey, but Jesus offers so many more better things, amen, than the old covenant. You say, preacher, you talk about, what are you talking? I'm talking about redemption. I talk about once a year, that great high priest in the Old Testament, that high priest would once a year. And those high priests would change from year to year, but that high priest once a year, he would come in on the Day of Atonement. He'd have to go in, he'd have to prepare himself, he'd have to offer up sacrifices for his own sins because he was a sinner. And before he could represent the people to God, he had to cleanse himself before God. And once a year, he would come in, he would go in, and he would prepare himself, and then after he prepared himself, he would take that lamb, that perfect, spotless lamb that they searched high and wide to find and had ready for the Day of Atonement. And he would prepare that sacrifice, and then he would take that blood, and he would go into the court or the courtyard of the tabernacle. He would go in there, and he would make his way. He'd offer that sacrifice. He would catch that blood, and he would take that blood into the holy place and into the Holy of Holies. Talking, I ain't got time to go into all the details, how it'd be a rope tied around it, there would be bells on the bottom of his skirt. And he would go in once a year, and he would offer up blood for the sins of the people. And God would see that blood, he'd be satisfied, and the glory of God, this kind of glory, would come and would fill the temple. But then, the next day started a new year. And Brother Robbie, they would go back out there, and those people would be back in more temptation, they would be in more things, and every year they would build up. There were daily sacrifices. There were sacrifices all throughout the year. Well, on the Day of Atonement, the very next year, that priest, that next great high priest that would come in on the nation of that high priest, he would have to go in and do that all over again. Year after year on the Day of Atonement, that this sacrifice, this offering would be repeated. Year after year. Year after year. See, it was a repeated thing. It was something that continually took place year after year. Never did it fully satisfy a holy God. See, sin had separated God and men. And God said, I'm going to prepare you a way that we can have fellowship. And He said, if you obey me, you'll come through these ordinances, or you'll come through these feasts, you'll come through these sacrifices and these offerings. He said, that's the way I can come back in. He said, I can be pleased. But it was temporary. Year after year, there had to be another priest. And that high priest would come, and he would offer up that lamb, he would take the blood and go in the next year, year after year after year after year. But one day, John the Baptist was walking down John 1:29, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I'm telling you, hey, I'm talking about, hey, there was coverings in the Old Testament that were temporary coverings that appeased God, but one day Jesus came. And when Jesus came and went to Calvary, amen, no longer was it a coverment. Amen, no longer was it temporary. Hey, no longer was it from year to year. But when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, and He shed His blood, and He gave His life, and He cried out, it is finished! Not it started, He said, it's finished. I'm telling you, Jesus is so much better than the Old Testament. You say, preacher, can you give me some proof? I'll give you just a few things this morning. Why Jesus' redemption is greater, it's better, it's more perfect, why it's greater than any of the Old Testament high priest sacrifices. Can I share these with you this morning? I just got a couple. Y'all got time? Amen. Hey, why was Christ's redemption greater than the Old Testament way and the Old Testament priest? Number one, I want to say this, because He obtained it by His own blood. He obtained it by His own blood. Hey, we have, watch this, when Jesus came, we now have a new resource. He came personally. He personally provided His own blood. I would just stop and look at a few verses. Look at verse number 12. He said, neither by the blood of goats and calves. Now that's what the Old Testament high priest offered. Goats and calves. That's what he offered all the time. That's what he would offer. That was an acceptable thing in the Old Testament. But he said when Jesus came, hey, in verse number 11, he said when Jesus came, amen, he said he was come by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle. And verse 12 said, neither by the blood of goats and calves. Neither by the blood of goats and calves. Those goats and calves had done a good job up till Jesus came. Hey, they had, from year to year, they'd been provided. Hey, they had helped, hey, men like David and Solomon and Isaiah, those, the blood of goats and calves. But when Jesus came, I'm telling you, when Jesus came, He didn't come by the blood of a goat or of a calf. But the Bible said, but what's this say in verse number 12? But by His own blood. But by His own blood. You know what Jesus is? Jesus is the God-man. Jesus is King eternal, but watch this. Jesus is God, but in the incarnation, God became man. Don't get mad at me, but God didn't become a dog. God didn't become a bull. God didn't become a calf or a goat or a sheep. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about literally, God became man. See, God became a man because He needed some blood. No longer was an animal blood going to be a picture of a cleansing or a picture of a sacrifice. But now, God provided in the person of Jesus Christ, hey, a God-man that could provide not only the God side, but the man side to shed His blood. Are you listening? I'm telling you, listen, you're not cleansed today. It's not what can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of a goat. Nothing but the blood of... No, friend. Hey, it's what can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let me say, it's a man. Amen. He came and he identified with us. And I say, not only that, it's not an animal's blood. Amen. It's Jesus' blood. They still people today offering sacrifices. I saw not too awful long ago a group of people marching down a road and they had a lamb killed and laid out on a stretcher like thing, picking that thing up, carrying it, and they were celebrating. Hey, they're stuck in the past, friend. Hey, but Christ is now came and He's so much better. He's more perfect. He's so much greater than those Old Testament things. He came and He obtained it by His own blood. I want to say this, when He obtained it by His own blood, not only was He a man, but watch it, He was a volunteer. Amen. I never one time in the Old Testament do I see where when those priests went out to get a lamb or a goat or a calf or whatever it was, I don't know necessarily that those animals lined up and volunteered. Most of the time when you try to take a calf and lead it to the slaughter, most of the time there's some resistance there. I've seen them, and you had to get that electric thing yonder behind them and kind of encourage them to walk up the chute. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Listen, most of the time, hey, when you're going to slaughter an animal, most of the time there's some resistance there. You've got to trick them a little bit. You've got to encourage them and force them. But when Jesus came, He came voluntarily. Nobody had to force Him. The Bible said He laid down His own life for His friends. Hey, let me tell you something. Hey, nobody had to pay Him. Nobody had to bribe Him. Nobody had to get behind Him and push Him and encourage Him, amen. But the Bible said, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despised the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm just simply talking about how His redemption is better because He obtained it with His own blood.
Don't get too excited, but we don't have to offer sacrifices today. I didn't see none of y'all bring a pigeon or a dove or a goat or a little calf in here this morning. I didn't see anybody bring anything like that. Say, hey, preacher, can you sacrifice? No, we don't do that anymore. You know why you don't do it anymore? Because Jesus came. Because Jesus, and His redemption is so much better. Hey, because He obtained it personally with His own blood. But I want to say this, number two, now is it better because He obtained it personally? Hey, there's a new resource, but number two, He obtained it once a year and once and for all. Excuse me, once and for all, because it's not repeated. He obtained it perfectly. Word perfectly meaning completely. It's not a figure. See, in those Old Testament, those things, the Bible said that they were a figure. Did you see that in verse 9? Which was a figure. You see that word figure in verse number 9? All these things in the Old Covenant, they were a figure. That is, they were a picture. They were a type. They were a foreshadowing of something that was coming. But hold on now. Hey, Jesus, when He came, He was not a figure, but He entered into the holy place in heaven. Look down in verse number 24. Verse 24. The Bible says, watch me now. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the truth. Now, what he's saying is, he said that Christ did not enter into Moses' temple, which was the figure. He said, which was made by hands. He said, Moses, he said, that was a good picture. That was a figure of that which is true. He said, but that's not what Christ entered to. He said, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. When Jesus came, He didn't say, hey, move over, you bunch of Israelites. I need to go in the temple, hey, and offer up myself. No, friend. He did not go into the figure. He didn't go into the figure and offer Himself. But when He died, He took His blood and He went straight into heaven and He offered the blood upon the heavenly mercy seat. The one that Moses' temple was a picture of. Jesus went to the real thing and He said, hey, God Almighty, my Father in heaven, He said, I've got the blood. I've got the last sacrifice you ever need. I've got the blood, and I'm going to put it on the mercy seat for all these people's sins. He obtained it once and for all. Amen. Not a figure, but entering in the holy place. Perfectly, amen. Perfectly. And I want to say this, not repeated once every year. No, look at verse 25. Nor yet that He should offer Himself often, as the high priest enters into the holy place every year, with the blood of others. Did you see that? Christ didn't do that. He said, for then must He often suffer since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world, once in the end, did y'all see that? Now once in the end of the world, did anybody see that once? Now once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. I'm saying He obtained it once and for all. The idea here that in verse number 12 that by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place. I'm telling you, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus went to Calvary and He shed His blood and He laid down His life and He took that blood and He presented it to the Father. And can I say to you, hey, the next year He didn't have to present it, and the year after that He didn't have to go back and do it again. 10 years later He didn't have to do it again. 100 years later He didn't have to do it again. 1,000 years later He didn't have to do it again. Didn't matter how many more sins were committed. Didn't matter, no matter how many more sinners were born. Didn't no matter how much transgression took place. Didn't matter how much worse the iniquities looked. How much worse they got. Hey, the sacrifice that Jesus took. Hey, some 2,000 years ago. Hey, that's the only one He ever offered. And that's the only one He's going to offer. Because He obtained it once and for all, perfectly, completely. See, those Old Testament were just, if I could compare with you, in verse number 12, He's talking about the blood of goats and calves. They weren't perfect. They were types. They were figures. They were a shadow of what was to come. He said, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place. Once. It didn't take but once. And let me say this, because of that, it's not only did He obtain it by His own blood, a new resource personally, not only did He obtain it once for all, that's not repeated perfectly, but He obtained it eternally for us. We are now redeemed eternally and permanently. permanently. Now, I don't know about y'all, but this kind of excites me. Those Old Testament priests, when they offered up, I mentioned this a while ago, but what they offered on the Day of Atonement was a covenant. It just sort of like covered the sins. It was sort of like saying, God, we're trusting you to one day send a sacrifice that will fulfill what we're showing a picture of right here. And God, until you do, we're going to put a covenant on these sins. And we're going to trust you to forgive us and take care of us for this year. But they were looking forward to one day that was going to be a lamb come that wasn't coming every other year. But he was coming once and for all. And what that's what John said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, John 1:29. So it's not just a covenant, but now we have an atonement. And friends, there's a vast difference. Can I say Jesus did not just cover our sins at Calvary, but according to Revelation 1:5, he has loved us and washed us in his own blood. See, hey, you can sing that song. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Hey, friend, the Old Testament, we get all my sins as far as the east is from the west. Hold on. Somewhere along the line, if you go from east to west, you'd find them. We're in the Old Testament. Well, my sins are buried in the depths of the deepest sea. Well, they'd still be there at the bottom of the sea. But according to the New Testament, when Jesus came and shed his blood, the Bible said he washed us. The idea is he took a big bucket of blood and he washed us. Are y'all ain't getting this. What I'm saying is, hey, those sins in the past, they're gone. Hey, that sin you're going to commit tomorrow, in God's eyes, it's already gone. You're going to have to confess it and give your relationship right. Hey, your fellowship back. Hey, but I'm telling you, the blood washes and cleanses us from all sin. New Testament saint, your sin is not in the depths of the deepest sea. It's not from the east and the west. It's gone. Get a hold of that bag. It's gone. He washed us. It's gone. Christ's blood, watch this, brought about much more than the blood of the goat, the blood of the calves. It brought much more than the ashes of a heifer. See, our blood is not based, our redemption is not based upon the good work or the things that we achieve, the sacrifices that we offer. No, our redemption is based upon the completed work, the perfected, permanent sacrifice of Jesus Christ. See those Old Testament sacrifices mentioned in chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. He said that the blood of bulls and goats, the ashes of the heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh. How much more, there it is, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? He talked about those things in the Old Testament. He talked about dead works. Dead works. Dead works. He said, how much more shall the blood of Christ? I'm telling you this morning that the blood of Christ has obtained for you and I eternal redemption. The idea here of redemption is to be delivered from the penalty of sin, to have been ransomed or to be bought out of sin's slave market and to have been released and made free. Amen. I'm talking about we have been redeemed. I stand redeemed in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the redemption that Christ offers. Hey, those Old Testament sacrifices, look at verse 13 and 14. We just read about it. Look down at verse number 23. He said, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these things. So he said, he's talking about, let's just back up to verse number, can I back up to verse number 19? For when Moses had spoken every precept to all, the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats and of water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. He said almost all things because there were some loopholes that God put for the people who were poor and didn't have any animals. They could bring some flowers or whatever other things God had allowed. He said, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Amen.
Without the shedding of blood is no remission. And the idea there is no remission of sin, no forgiveness. He said, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these things. So he said it was necessary that Moses had taken blood and sprinkled it. It was necessary that the pattern, that is Moses' tabernacle, was purified like this. He said, but the heavenly things themselves with better. You see that? Verse 23. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the blood of bulls, goats, ashes of heifers. Those things never got the job done. They would, and listen, if you still depended on them, you'd still have to do it every year. Hey, but I'm telling you, Jesus came. He took His own blood into heaven. Look at verse number 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Hey, verse number 15, we see that He had to die. He had to be attestated because it means death. Hey, his life made Him able to offer a sacrifice, but His death made Him the sacrifice. There was a radical change took place. There was a reformation took place. Those Old Testament things are now done away with. Jesus came, and I like the old song, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. I'm telling you this morning that listen, there's people trying to work their way. There's people trying to get baptized in. There's people trying to sign cards and get in. There's people trying to, hey, I'm doing the best I can. Hey, Frank, can I tell you that you might as well just stop doing the best you can and trust the only one that can get you in. As Jesus came to Calvary 2,000 years ago, He laid down His spotless, innocent life. He shed His perfect, powerful, hey, perfect, I said, blood. I'm telling you, He shed blood. Hey, that nobody else could compare Him to. Hey, I'm telling you that when Jesus came, hey, to the cross of Calvary, He said it's finished. And when I want to say when He did, He provided for you and I a redemption that was complete, a redemption that was perfect, a redemption that's eternal. Amen to God. Redemption offered by Christ is better because it's by its own blood. It's better because it's once and for all. And it's better because it's eternal. Eternal. I'm not working. I'm not doing my best. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Because He did, I can say, thank God, I stand redeemed in the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed because of all that Christ done for me. Jesus took that blood. And so the writer of Hebrews says that when we look back at the Old Testament, and we see the blood of the bulls and the blood of the goats, and we see all those Old Testament sacrifices that were good for them. He said, that's just a picture. That's just a foreshadow. Those things were just leading up. But he said, now Christ has come. And Christ has fulfilled all that. He's so much better. So much better. And if you'll trust Him, and you'll trust the sacrifice that Christ paid, if you will just believe on Him, He said He offers for you today eternal redemption. Look at verse number 12 one more time. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You say, preacher, but I think, you know, I'll save, but preacher, I think, you know, I've done so much bad, I don't think I'm saved. If you was ever saved, you're still saved. If you was ever saved, you're still saved. Now listen, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. But if you was ever saved, you're still saved. He said he had obtained, watch it now, eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. Thank God for eternal redemption. He's personal. I'm telling you, the redemption that Christ offers is so much better. I'm glad today. I'm glad. I'm so glad. Listen, go ahead and start playing real soft. But I'm so glad this morning that I don't have to get up, go out yonder in the back, find me an animal and take it down, say, hey, priest, here's my animal. I don't have to, you know, start preparing and looking for the right animal. I'm thankful this morning. I mean, I'm super duper thankful that I can just say, hey, Jesus did it. When Jesus came, that took care of all. And He has obtained by His own blood, He has obtained eternal redemption for all that will call upon Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Eternal. I'm talking about eternal. I'm just thinking, you said, we're talking about, I'm talking about He obtained it personally. He obtained it perfectly. And He obtained it perfectly. Perfectly. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, you know the need of the hour. God, you know the hearts of the people. God, I pray in Jesus' name you'd help us. I pray if there be anybody here in the center of my voice that's not saved, God, you'd save me by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, may your grace be sufficient for them to me. God, I pray for maybe the Christian struggling, maybe need some encouragement. God, help us. God, have your will in Jesus' name. We're standing all across God, authority, heads bowed, eyes.